employment. So I'd like to hear what your thoughts are and what you think heaven is like, and just randomly share. If you don't start randomly share, I'm going to have you stand up, come up front, read it word for word, and I will tell you where you were wrong, thoroughly embarrass you, and then...
That's true.
Don't share. You're part of it. Feel free. Now, yeah, Ron's going to start. Do we want Ron to come up front? What means that it's showing where he's wrong and embarrassing? No, we don't want that. But I want to hear what you guys think heaven's like. Ron, you want to share?
Okay.
Everybody, take your. You can say that, but it's fine.
Okay. I like to go first.
He has a nice outfit.
Yes, he looks sharp. Let me.
Once he's corrected me, you're all the only.
I won't correct anybody.
What do you think? Exactly.
My wife,
correction.
Yes.
So what is heaven like? What I really know is that after death and in eternity, being in heaven means believers will be in the presence of our holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our eyes will not be looking through a veil of darkness, and we will see them, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in their true glory. We will spend all eternity learning the mysteries of God, but because they are infinite, we will never fully understand the glory and knowledge of who God is. We will be in awe and wonder. After 10,000 years, we will have just as long to enjoy His presence as when we first began. Yes, that's a song. And there will be no tears or remembrance of sin and death, or those who we knew who are not there. We will praise God for His perfect justice.
Good job, Ron.
Yes.
Heaven will be without sorrow, without sin. Heaven will be a beautiful place to grow in worship and praise. I will have a purpose there as I do here. I'll have a new home built by God. I will still grow in knowledge. I shall live eternity there.
Okay. Who's going to be the honest person and say, well, I think of clouds? Everybody.
I didn't think about that, but
okay,
honestly, I did not think much about what heaven would be like. I would think about what it would look like, mm-hmm. You know, what I thought it would look like. But because I have heard so many different views from people that I have respected and trusted, when things start to get confusing, I just sort of set them aside. And so,
welcome to my world.
I did think about it looking, to me, heaven, I think of the streets of gold, but I think of big fields of flowers, things that are calm, things that are peaceful. But I did not think about much about what it would actually be like. So I'm hoping that this is going to change that a little bit. And already I felt like this was a hard question because I already read the first two chapters of the book, which gave me a little more thought process.
Yes.
That's good. I wanted to incorporate
all that. Which is not what I was thinking about before I read the book. So when I'm answering this question about what I did think about it, this is what I thought about it. I didn't think much about it. I thought, like I said, what it would look like, but not actually what it would be like.
And the experience that you're having is the same experience that the author had, right? He's writing a book on heaven, and he's explaining it to people, and they're like, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
You know?
So, that's my answer.
And we're all in the same boat because of all the statistics that he came out with in those first, well, the introduction in the first 22 pages, it hasn't been talked about much, has it?
Well, there's very little written in the Bible about it. There's not much real even context. When, for the majority of my Christian life, actually since I was a child, when I used to think about dying and eternity, it would suck me into a black hole or vortex and I would have panic attacks, seriously, because I couldn't understand, I couldn't imagine nothing with an end, nothing with a beginning. And it's been very recently God delivered me of that because I started looking at God. But for me, when I think of heaven, it's like we don't actually live in heaven. We're going to live on the new earth and reign with Christ forever. Heaven is, if we die before Christ returns, that's where we will be in a spiritual sense. sense, without our new bodies before the judgment. And I still, if I'm honest, and I share this, you know, from everything we've been taught about heaven, it's like, sounds pretty boring to just sit there and worship and do nothing else. And then it sounds pretty scary if there's these people reigning over us and reigning over, you know, so, you know, if we're all going to have a job, that means somebody's got to clean the toilets in heaven and somebody's got to do this. It's like, whoa, I don't understand this. So I have to lay it down to God and say, I don't understand it. Because the only references that I have here are I can touch, I can see, I can smell, I can taste here. But you're asking us to imagine without any of those senses or references from this earth. That's what blows my mind. We don't have any real references. Because we've never seen God. So how can we? We can't even imagine God. We're not even supposed to imagine God. He doesn't want to have an image of himself made. So it's like we're trying to wrap our minds around something that has, we have no reference for. So all we can focus on is the majesty of God and trust.
Okay.
Well, I said that it'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and it'll be just like the Garden of Eden, where only it'll be better because there'll be no temptations. There was an opportunity for temptation in the Garden of Eden. And work didn't become a bad thing until after sin.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if we're cleaning a toilet. It won't be a bad thing to us.
No.
Because that's what made work bad was sin. So we'll have stuff to do. I mean, I just picture, I love gardening and I love being outside and I love the birds and things like that. And I think we'll enjoy those things that God created and just continue to learn more and more all the time. But it'll be real. It'll be something solid that never be.
I love what the author said, that what we are suited for what we were specifically designed for, is being with Christ on the earth. So he's going to reclaim the earth for what it was originally meant for. That was amazing. That was very cool to me.
Eric and I were hiking on her birthday on Friday. She was drilling me with all these questions. I'm like, oh, geez, because I'm a pastor, doesn't have all the answers, honey. You know, so she talked about, you know, one of the things that's very common is that we obviously are going to get a glorified body, and what do we think that glorified body is like? I've talked to you about this before, and it seems to remember. Scripturally, what do we think the glorified body is like?
Like his.
Like the one he appeared in the room with the, up in the upper
right,
room.
With the
flesh and bone.
Flesh and bone and no blood.
Right. Well, he came back, and he could eat food, and obviously he'd go to the bathrooms, if I'm assuming. But he walked the earth, and he also, though, had what on his hands? Wrists. The scars are still there, which is the reason why I believe that there's the wiping away of tears, which is that in Revelation. I don't think it's a sorrow. I don't think that there's, I don't believe that, I've heard people talk about, I'm not sure about this, but I don't think that there's ever going to be a lost memory of sin, because the sorrow is for that sin. There will not be sin. But we will remember, and the tears he's wiping away is tears of sorrow, mixed with intense gratitude and joy and love as we worship him, because we're there because of him. Will we be able to transport, walk through walls like Jesus did? I don't know, maybe. But one point I did make to Erica, I said, honey, God already restarted everything anew. We had an original plan, and they were given like 1,656 years, and then only 8 people survived. You know what that meant? Whatever knowledge that those 8 people had accrued is all that they had. All the other technology and everything, it was gone. It will not be that way when he comes again, because there's going to be far more people that are alive when he comes again. But it will be a new heaven and a new earth. What that is, what we have, the streets of gold and him in the presence of no sun and stuff like that. So she started asking your scientific questions on gravity. I said, Eric, I have no idea. Because that's what the moon and sun are for, right? To keep us on Earth if there's no more sun. I said, I don't know. He'll figure it out. I trust God. Take care of it. But I says, there will be some knowledge that's around still of the current technology, whatever that is. I think we'll be rebuilding things and working and loving and worshiping and all of that. But it'll be just, there won't be the hindrance of sin and with the production of food and stuff like that, because the curse has been removed.
Having babies.
What?
There wouldn't be any more babies.
And there's no marriage in heaven, right? So, what will look like? Another question I had, I don't know. If you're gonna, you die 95-year-old man in your glorified body, but it still looks like a 95-year-old man, just healthy, or if you died young.
Like a baby.
And you're still going to be that? I don't know. Yeah. Who knows? I've answered those questions. Maybe we'll find more in the book. But the point is that the author made a point in the chapter about, and we all are have mentioned it, is that we have suffered from naturalism. You understand what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. And from now on, I want you to do your best to never say again, natural law. Because that's what we do, because we're being ingratiated with naturalism, and it's natural law. Natural law says that this is nature is the reason why these things are acting this way. It's why those trees are growing, there's a pine tree and another deciduous tree.
But those are laws.
No, they're not. That is not natural law. They are God's laws that govern everything.
I was going to say, that those are laws God has put into place when we see that. And so they look at it, and that's all a person's going to see is just what they see.
But we've taken God away from it. It's the natural
equation.
Right.
And inventing it.
Right. And when we take that out of the equation, it applies even to what we think of in terms of heaven, what it's going to be like. It will be spiritual and physical. Okay, you're not going to exist floating in heaven, playing a harp in a spirit form. Okay? I don't know. I assume that, and I'll talk about this in the sermon series about the future, what happens when you die. Well, we know what the scriptures say. Where's your body? Mine's going to be cremated. I'm not burying it. It's too expensive. Okay? It's going to be burned. Okay? What happens to your spirit then? The absence from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? When did we receive our glorified bodies then?
After the second coming,
yeah, we'll look into all of that and answer those questions. But I don't know if we immediately receive a glorified body when we go meet with Him.
Yeah.
Okay. We have it when we return, right? The second coming. We're riding on what?
Horses.
We're riding horses. Doesn't that mean that we'll have some sort of a physical body? These are questions that we'll have to look at and so on. It's kind of fascinating stuff, but
there's still male and female, but just no
marriage. No, there is no gender. They're non-binary. There's limitless genders. Okay, you can be whatever you want. You can be like those 100-some people that in Germany identified as dogs and shut down that one, whatever it was they did.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, male and female, he created them. That's it. No more discussion.
Here's a thought.
Remember when God said, let us create man in our image, and they created Adam.
Right.
But in a mortal body, Adam needed a helper. Before he took Eve out of Adam, which would have been the whole picture, like how we are in marriage, I wonder if that will be what we're like, that we will be the whole picture. We'll be like God, meaning the male-femaleness, blended together like marriages, that's who we were created to be originally. Because that's what Adam
is. I think what he said in his image, meaning an intellect, a will, and a conscience, not necessarily the physical.
Right, right.
So we're in his image in those aspects, whereas nothing else on earth has those.
I think that that's a little bit different though, Tracy, because remember when Moses wanted to see him, what did God allow him to see? his back. So I do think that we look like him in a veiled, very much veiled way. But God is what, though?
Spirit.
He's a spirit. And so she is exactly right in that we can know the difference between right and wrong in that intellect. And so we see a difference between, you can see an animal reason things out to an extent, right? But, and you see animals, you know, demonstrating compassion and love for their species and whatnot, but.
He says we'll be as the angels.
Yeah.
In that same passage that she was.
And so there's a lot there. Now, we're running out of time here. The first two chapters, any other thoughts that stood out to you?
One thing I love is that even non-believers desire heaven, or they have every culture,
yeah.
Every nationality, they've come up with a type of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, how we're made in God's image. We long for that. We long for eternity because we're eternal beings. And so I just think that was interesting how he talks about how every culture, every nation, every different, they long for heaven, or they make it up some kind. It's obviously
eternity's in our hearts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love the fact that one pastor said, man, it sounds boring. Because I thought, well, if all I'm going to do is worship forever, that did kind of sound boring to me. I felt bad for feeling that way. But
yeah,
but it was kind of fun to see, oh, I wasn't the only one that thought that, and this will be interesting to see where we're at. Because I never even thought about, I'm going to have a job to do. That was one of my questions. It's like, what am I going to be doing? I know on earth, God's created me for good works. But what am I in heaven? I don't know.
Yeah, I thought
and I never gave it a lot of thought either, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I thought heaven would be everything opposite of what earth is now. That's what I think it would be. Like a total opposite.
Roger, you mentioned, you were talking at Lil's Memorial yesterday. Remember what you said about the first two chapters of the book?
Yeah, it was a different viewpoint that I had never considered. And I was a bit taken back by the comments of, you know, Christians relaying this, that, you know, heaven's going to be boring. And to me, I thought, well, do you know God?
Exactly.
Do you really know God?
Exactly.
Carol doesn't, apparently.
How could you say that? You're going to be in the presence of God, you know, of holiness and worshiping, and this, what you're worried about here will not even come into your mind, in my opinion. You know, we're going to be with God. You know, what that entails in terms of eternity, I haven't the faintest idea. Hopefully, I hope to learn more as we go through this study. But I was a little taken back by the approach that, you know, I would expect that from those who don't have a Christian upbringing. But those, a pastor, to say, well, I'll be bored in heaven?
Pastor
and that child. Really took me back. I mean,
yeah.
We won't care.
It gets even worse.
Like we have here. That's what I mean. We're not going to be thinking about that.
Well, that's a sign of our time, because Lydia's been calling me, and she's taking a theology 101, she calls it Theology 101 at George Fox. And it's such a large class for that school, 100 kids, and they break off in groups. And they looked at the Beatitudes, and they looked at Genesis and so on. These kids don't have the slightest clue at all. And she's talking about, this is what this means, poor in spirit, and stuff like that. So she's calling me, thanking me. I was like, okay, I'm doing something right. But the thing I mentioned to Lloyd is like, talk about, in Genesis and what the curse meant to the woman and stuff like that. And Elise Hauser said in my teaching that she said, well, this is referring to a reference to Christ when he comes again and whatnot. And the response of the kids in our group was, this is a telling of our times. Well, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
That's your interpretation. Oh. And so if pastors, getting back to heaven, don't think much about heaven, they sort of not be passed on. And if, you know, which is why, one of the reasons why I tell the board, you need to get rid of a congregational vote for your pastor. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, churches do this, the elders or whatever brings in a pastor, and then who decides whether he's there or not? The congregation, the most immature members are trying to discern the will of God and vote on it, and so on. The church should do a better job of talking to people, building consensus, but it's just like, if you don't know this, if we don't know this, the pastors don't know this, it's not going to get filtered down. And this is what it is true of heaven. Any other final thoughts? I'm just it up to you. Ahead.
In defense of Carol.
Oh, no, yeah.
No, I agree with Roger, but I don't think Carol meant that. What I think, if I can speak for you, is what we're all been taught, nothing about heaven. That's why you're doing this.
Yeah.
So we think we're not going to do anything but float on a cloud, so it's going to be boring. But if Roger actually asked Carol, you're going to be in God's presence, would you be bored? She would say no. Because when you're in God's presence, you don't want to leave. When you get in that prayer closet and you're with him, you don't want to go anywhere. You're like, time just goes by. So I'm sure Carol would say, no, I would never be bored in God's presence. But it's just our instinct that it's our off-the-cuff.
Our earthly brain.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. It's our earthly brain. This is the way I am on earth. Exactly. Yeah. That's stuff I need to do.
Yeah.
It's all this. They better have if you can't fly, they better have elevators. You want to know why?
Why? There's no pain and walking upstairs.
No problem.
The New Jerusalem, the city, the dimensions.
All the stairs.
It's 1,200 miles wide, 1,200 miles high, if I remember correctly.
Now you know what we'll be doing all day.
So yeah, that's what we're walking. That's why I said there better be elevators, but you can't like immediately go up, fly up there, because that's a drag. Okay, well, we're running out of time. Yeah, I was with Jim Carroll all the time. Okay. She's going to be gone in her bit of heaven in Australia, New Zealand. Is this is two chapters not enough? Too much? I didn't know. I took a stab at it. Is it fine? Okay. Well, I'm going to try and keep this format as much as I can. Read, discuss, and then we'll discuss it as a group. Is that working out so far for you guys? Okay, so read the next two chapters. Carol, you there, I see.
Huh?
What page is that? The next two sections. I've got it right here, I'll see.
Chapter 3 and 4.
Yeah.
What we're looking at.
23 through
37.
Okay. It's off. Your assignment this week is use your imagination and think, as he suggests. Okay? But use your imagination to think, but it's got to be fueled by what? Scripture.
Truth.
Scripture. Okay? So that's why I can imagine the New Jerusalem, because it's fueled by Scripture. Those are the actual dimensions I can think about. It's going to be lined with what, by the way, you remember? Gold. All kinds of...
Translucent gold.
There we go. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. As we go to worship you once again, prepare our hearts and continue to draw our thoughts upward to heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.